Amen. Hey, I want to ask you if you will take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to look at verses 24 to 27. This is Paul's letter to the Corinthian church. And, you know, unlike the Philippian letter that we looked to them, there was a lot of great stuff that he would say to the Philippians and a lot of good things that they did for him. He had a lot of correction for the church in Corinth. This isn't a correction. These verses are words of instruction for them. And he puts them in a situation as an athlete, as it were, as a runner, as one who's sustaining for the gospel everywhere they go. So let's look at chapter 9, verse 24. If you'll stand together if you can, if you're able to, and we'll read these verses together. He asks a question. Don't you know that the runners in a stadium all race, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way to win the prize. Now everyone who competes exercises self-control in everything. They do it to receive a perishable crown. Ah, but we an imperishable crown. So I do not run like one who runs aimlessly or shallow boxes, like one beating the air. Instead, he says, I discipline my body and bring it under strict control so that after preaching to others, I myself will not be disqualified. God bless the reading of his word, and you can be seated. What is the mission of the Tennessee Volunteers? Yeah, well, don't steal my thunder then, brother. Yes, how about the mission of the Titans? Okay, yeah. We could just go on and on, couldn't we? Belmont Bruins and MTSU Raiders. We know that the mission of those teams, I'm speaking of athletics, I'm in sports. So we know that the mission of those teams is to win, for sure. And I'm not sure that there's a question as to how we measure whether or not there is going to be a winner or not. We just look at the score and we see where that heading. Yesterday, the boys' basketball team played to the sadness of a loss. But as we kept looking at that score, as it changed from one side to the next, it gave us Auburn's up, Tennessee's up, and back and forth it went. Finally, gave it to them. Yeah. How do we know? Well, it's because of the score. I have a sense in my mind that Rick Byrd, I don't know if I'm going to be in that locker room after the end of that game. You know, because I'm sure he would probably ask a simple question. Guys, did you even want to win this game? Did you even come here with the heart of winning this game? Don't you sense that sometimes God's Spirit, the Lord, would have to ask us, do you really want to win this race in life? Do you really want to be in the winning column and make sure that you've defeated Satan and all of his fiery darts that he throws at you? Don't you always want to be on the top? Well, of course, the way we know that we're winning is that somebody, somewhere, is keeping the score. You know, this is not t-ball. You know, t-ball is good for kids that start out because there's really not a score. You know, you just play, hit the ball, and it's just fun. And it's, you know, coach, pitch, and so on. It's a fun way to play. You start to learn the rudiments of the game. But that's not where we are as believers. We're not in a t-ball game. We're in the real deal. And 2020, our mission, my focus, and I trust all of our focus for this year is to know Him and to make Him known. Amen. To know more of who Christ is, to know more of the personality and the love of God, and then also to make that known to people for whom we come in contact with, that they might know Him through us. I guarantee you there are some folks who know your family history and your family tree, that they can look at you and know something about your family, your mom and your dad, and so on, because of you and your personality. So we also want to make sure we're giving the best image of who God is to the world watching. When I was in high school, the little Southern Baptist church that I attended in high school, and I told you that I wasn't raised in church, but when I went to high school, we started in a little pioneer Southern Baptist church in Indianapolis, Indiana, and the way we kind of kept score was we had a board over here, Ronnie. Remember that? Yeah. Had a board that said, worship attendance, giving, Sunday school attendance. We kept score with those things. Yeah. We kind of knew where we stood. Well, we've got that here. You can look in your bulletin and kind of see the attendance and the giving, you know, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, or it's right there. It's the awful truth sometimes, or the glorious truth. But we do kind of keep score in that fashion. And although that does work, I think there's other ways that we can keep score, especially for us as believers, as to how we're doing and how we're assessing ourselves and whether or not we're in the game and we're in it to win it. And I say that with caution, because you and I know that when I use the word or the terminology game, I realize and am surrendered to the fact that I'm not in a game. This is real life stuff. Satan doesn't play softball. He plays hardball. And he wants nothing more than to have you fall every chance he gets. And so, knowing that that's the case, I want us to know that we are in this game. We are in this whole battle so that we might win for the Lord. But there are other ways that you can measure win. My sweet wife works at Brightstone, which is a company in Brentwood or Franklin that deals with special needs adults. And there are special needs Olympics that are held yearly in different parts of the country. You know, for those adults and children who have special impairments to run the race. And for them, for the most part, it's not who wins. It's just crossing that line. Just cross the line. And if you cross the line, we're going to celebrate with you like no one's business. We're going to throw a party just because you crossed the line. Well, Paul's talking about how to be a gold medal winner in these passages. And we want to make sure that whatever we do, wherever we go, that we are winners, not losers. Amen? You've got a lot of battles you're going to face this week. You don't even know about it. I can't tell you what they are. I don't know what they are. But I guarantee you, you're going to face a battle this week. That's just who we are. Because you see, we're battling against the prince and power of the air. And this world, guess what, is not my home. I'm in foreign territory. I'm a stranger in this place. And so knowing that, then the one who owns this place is going to want to battle against me and against the forces that are spiritually driving my life and yours. So not only are we going to face some of that, we're going to use some four short verses that we read and give us, hopefully look at three points that make and bring and develop a genuine winner for us today. Going for the gold, we do find three aspects that make a winner. And first of all, of course, Paul says in this first verse that winners, first of all, are contenders. I mean, hey guys, you can't win if you're not in the game, right? You can't win in the United game. It's like a person who never lets anybody know that they're a believer. They hide it because they're afraid. For example, they may have a question given to them. Yeah, well, who made God? You know, someone like that. They fear that question. How are they going to answer a question like that? And so basically they hide that they're a believer. Here's my statement about that. You're not in the game. You're not even on the sideline. You stayed in the locker room somewhere, drinking Gatorade to the whole game. Fact of it is, Paul is saying that as believers, whether we like it or not, we're in the battle. Satan's already got your number. He's got your number. And he's targeting your heart, targeting your lust, targeting your needs, targeting your greed, targeting the weakness of who you are. He knows what those are, and the battle is already yours. Winners are contenders, but you can't be unless you're even in the race. Don't you know, he says in verse 24, that the runners in a stadium all race, but only one receives the prize. If ever a word described who Paul the Apostle was, it's contender. Let me tell you, Paul was a contender. He stayed in the battle. Acts 14, when Paul was in Lystra and was stoned and dragged out of the city. We talked about Paul and some of the the pain that he had to go through as a missionary for Christ. But as he's stoned and dragged out of the city, as Paul came to and got over that beating, guess what he did? He got up, brushed himself off, and went right back into the battle. He didn't say, man, this is too hard for me. Oh, I can't believe that people are asking me these questions about Jesus. I can't believe people are questioning my walk for the Lord, my integrity for Christ. I can't believe they're doing that. I don't like that. That makes me uncomfortable. Not Paul. He got himself up, brushed himself up, walked right into the battle. Talk about a contender. No surprise that Paul could say at the end of his life, I fought the battle. I've kept the faith. I have been strong in my fight, and I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. And that 2 Timothy passage just gives me such drive to say, I want to someday be able to say those kind of words. I fought the fight. I kept the faith. I stayed in the battle. Not that I was a coward. Not that I ran away. But I stayed in the race. Did I win? Did I win every race? No way. I'm 68 years old. I've lost a lot of races. But I know one thing for sure. The battle, the war, has already been won by Christ. But we all have those bunker hills along the way that we sometimes can lose and get weak and fall to. Don't give up. Then they drag you out of the city. Don't give up. Brush yourself off spiritually and stay right in the battle. There's a huge difference between being a contender and being a pretender. We have too many church people who are pretenders. Oh, he looks like a Christian. He walks like a Christian. He talks like a Christian. But when the battle gets tough, they run as far as they can across the field away from any potential of revealing their weakness. There's a difference between contenders and pretenders. A contender has authenticity. A contender has integrity. A contender strives for excellence to win whatever battle that they're in, whatever race that they're in. Paul was saying, to be a winner, you've got to be a contender. There's a couple of characteristics quickly about a contender for sure. First of all, they're competitive. They're competitive. A contender is competitive. You watch them. Man, they're in there. They're down on their knees. They're ready to go. You ever watch a football game on the line when you've got those guys that are going against each other? And man alive, they're like animals going to each other. They're competitive. They want to win the battle, but they also are goal-oriented. They know that there's something they're working for, striving for. They're competitive. They're competitive. You know what? We compete against social influences all the time. The world that wants us to live like they're living. We compete against that all the time. We have to realize, we have to say, do I want to live a life that's holy and pure and just? You know, we said it in Philippians passage. 4:8 says, you know, whatever things are just and holy and pure and honest and of good report, think of these things. So we realize that there's a lot of social influences in our life that cause us not to think about those things that we ought to in this Philippians passage. But also Paul says that we as a contender have got to be competitive. We've not got just social influences. We've got a lot of satanic influences in this world that run against us as believers. Ms. Elaine talked about that. Faith is the victory. Walking by faith. Sometimes you don't get to see what you're holding to. That's called faith. But you hold to it anyway and know that you're going to be a winner. If it's God's word and God's presence in your life, you're going to be a winner. Not just satanic or social. We also go and contend against and compete against selfish influences. Things that we want. How do I do that? That makes me uncomfortable. I don't have to go there. It makes me uncomfortable. We're about to blast off. When I say blast off, I mean blast off with Feed America. When that thing, I'm praying that that's going to be such a major, major blessing and a major ministry of Jackson Ridge, and that we're going to touch so many lives through stomachs, two hearts, for the kingdom. But I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes we're not going to feel like getting out and doing that stuff. We're going to be a little selfish, saying, you know, I worked a hard week. I don't know if I really have the energy left to do that. That's all right. Mosey on over here, sit on the sidelines and pray. Do something with the king, with the king's task that he's given us. Yeah. We're going to see some great things happen because spiritual contenders are competitive, I believe. And but not only are they competitive, but I say they're goal-oriented. Paul said in Philippians, we looked at this in that 14th verse of chapter 3, he says, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. They're goal-oriented. If we're to run to get the prize, what is the prize? Well, the prize is a Christian life. The prize is serving the Lord with pure heart. We may think it's heaven. I hope to receive heaven someday. Hey, that's already sealed. Don't worry about heaven. It's done. You've given your heart to Christ. Your name's already in the Lamb's Book of Life. So the prize you're going for is not heaven. It's done. But the prize you're going for is to live a life that's holy and pure before the world. You're justified by salvation. You can break that word justified down by just as if I'd not sinned. That's how God makes us through Christ Jesus. He washes our sins, past, present, and future, washes our slate clean, just as if I'd not sinned. That's how God sees us. We're justified through salvation. We're sanctified. That's the process of which we're becoming more and more like Christ. By the way, you can't know if you're becoming more like Christ until you know what Christ is like. And the way you know what Christ is like is you get into His Word to describe who Christ is and how He lives and what He did for you and the sacrifice He gave for all of us. And then, of course, the glorification process, and that's when we reach heaven. And we become as God, you know, He has given to us that brand new body. We're transformed into the likeness of Christ. And that's the first characteristic, I think, of a winner is someone that runs to win. I want you to be, and I want to always be, a runner who runs to win. I don't have to worry about whether I'm going to win or not. The battle's already been won. But keep yourself close to the Father. So as a contender, you stay competitive and you stay goal-oriented. Let me say also, that verse 25 and 26 tells us, Paul says, that a winner, that a one who goes for the goal is always in training. You know what you're doing today? You're in training. I know I haven't made you climb a mountain or run over an obstacle course or anything of that nature. Aren't you glad? But you're in training. We're all in training as we read God's Word. To think that there's always room to grow. There's always room to grow for you and for me. We're always growing, always stretching who we are. And we're not giving up. You know, grandchildren love to shout the achievements they make. I love it when a grandchild calls us, "Hey, Poppy!" Yeah. Can I say this? In public, I guess I can. But one of my granddaughters called me one day and says, "Poppy! I'm wearing big girl panties." I mean, good for you, honey. I encourage that's an achievement. Yeah, we like to know that when we're training, when we're growing, that every little bit that we do is moving us to become the image of Christ. And we like to know that. You can measure that by how your influence is touching the lives of someone else. You'll never touch someone else's life unless they know who you know as Savior. That's when you touch their lives. Anybody can give food. Did you know that? Anybody can fix a flat on the side of the road. Anybody can clean a house and do those things for someone else out of love. That's great. Out of compassionate love. But when you do it in the name of Christ, the eternal rewards are voluminous. They continue to shower down on your life because you did it for Christ. Well, the motivation for training, I think, of course, for all of us is that we're going to win, obviously. Hebrews chapter 12, I love that verse, of course, talks about how the angels urge us on. I often in my mind, See, in my mind, because you know we have a picture of heaven, right? We gotta make that picture somehow. Picture of Christ and God and all those sort of things, you know, give the physical flesh faces and so on. But I somehow feel that because of the Hebrews passage that sometimes the angels are standing on the balcony of heaven and they're leaning over saying, "Go, go, go!" And they're cheering me on. Don't stop! You're about to the finish line. Don't stop! You're a winner. That's what God's angels and God's heaven is doing for all of you. Saying, don't stop. Be a part of the training process. Continue going. That coach is standing on the sideline calling your name, telling you, run faster. You've almost made the time. Keep going. Verse 25 says this here concerning those who run. Everyone who competes exercises self-control and everything. They do it to receive a perishable crown. The runner does. A crown that's going to fade. You know, back in the day when Paul wrote this, they had a little wreath heads that would just finally, those leaves and those berries would just die out. Okay? A perishable crown. But we, when we run, it's for an imperishable crown. The glory which is ours, the blessing which is ours, continues on and continues on. I love the First Timothy passage in chapter 4 that says, but have nothing to do with pointless and silly myths. Rather, train yourself in godliness, he says in that, in those verses. Verse 8 of chapter 4. For the training of the body, listen, has limited benefit. But godliness is beneficial in every way, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Continue to work on your spiritual excellence for Christ. And the method of training, of course, is Paul's method, is to continue to walk with the Lord and be in His Word, contend with your faith, always be in training. There's one more characteristic, and we're going to close with this, is that a winner is self-controlled. Over in verse 27, Paul says this. He says, instead, I discipline my body and bring it under the strict control so that after preaching to others, I myself will not be disqualified. He's not speaking about his physical body. Those things end quickly. He's talking about his spiritual body in Christ. God uses who he is spiritually. He says, I work to discipline this. You may say, you know, Pastor, it sounds good, but I'm really not looking to win. I'm just looking to survive. You're just wondering how I can get through the next day, the next week, with what I have to face. And you say, because of that, winning seems to me to be an impossible task. I'm just looking to survive. I understand that. We've all been there. We've all been to the point that we just want to kind of get through, and finally we can have a good night's sleep and make it that way. We've all been there. Matthew chapter 19, 26 says, with men, this is impossible. But with God, nothing is impossible. I love the quote that was given to the great Vince Lombardi. He said, winning is a habit, and so is losing. And so, as believers, if we simply go through life with a cloud over us, a sadness in our hearts, and lose and lose and lose, it becomes habitual. And we like to tell people, oh, life is so bad, life is just terrible, I'm really having a bad time. And we like to tell that because we get some sympathy, you know. And if we didn't tell them that things were bad, we wouldn't get that sympathy and wouldn't feel that warm and fuzzy that we're looking for. And all the time, the person you're speaking to is looking to hear from you. How have you won this battle in Christ? Where does your strength come from? How could I know there's strength for me if I can't hear that there's strength from you? I love the Jeremiah passage that we've been looking at on Wednesday night, because in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, the Lord says, for I know the plans I have for you. This is the Lord's declaration. And Jeremiah, those of you who've been in that study, know that Jeremiah says that over and over again. This is the Lord's declaration. This is what the Lord is saying. This is not coming from me. This is God's voice. He says, this is the Lord's declaration. For I know plans I have for you. Plans for your well-being, not for disaster. To give you a future and a hope. the 29th verse of Proverbs. I love Proverbs 22. If you've not spent much time in Proverbs, you need to. But it says, do you see a person skilled in his work? He will stand in the presence of kings. He will stand in the presence of kings. He will not stand in the presence of the unknown. That's the winner's circle, is standing in the presence of kings. How do you get skilled in your work as a believer? You stay firm in your beliefs. You don't dicker with the devil about what's right and what's wrong. You know what's right. And you all the time assault him with the presence of the Lord. You can't touch me, devil. I am God's property. You can't win this battle. I'm God's child. I'm going to win every battle that I go against, because I'm going to go right back down, fall right down, and say, I'm preparing, I'm exercising, I'm staying in it, and I'm going to be self-controlled. Winning doesn't make attitude. I think attitude is what makes a winner. You believe you're a winner. You call upon the name of the Lord in every aspect of your life, and you will be a winner. I think a winner always pays the cost. You go for the goal because you've paid the cost. You've been competitive. You've been staying in there. You've been exercising your spiritual muscles. You've not let anything deter you. You've been like Paul, and you said, I'm going to stay and do all that I can to serve the King of Kings. You know, I think of Michael Phelps, someone like Michael Phelps, who won, how many gold medals did he win? 8 gold medals. You think he did that by not staying in the fight? By not contending for his art of the water? That's how we win right there. We stay in it. And God will honor your efforts of contending and competing, being goal-oriented, saying, I'm going for the prize, and the prize is to be like Christ.